You may have seen it happen. You've got people on two sides of an issue. At the beginning of a conversation or meeting, nobody feels too strongly. But once everybody picks a side, they dig in further and further. After a while, it looks like there's no way to bridge the divide. It can happen at a work meeting or in a local government hearing. It can happen in national politics or international relations. Our next guest says it doesn't have to be that way. With some ground rules and maybe some food, we can have productive conversations about divisive issues. Richard Kite is a professor and director of the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership at Viterbo University in La Crosse. Rick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, Rick, it seems like often in politics or in meetings or whatever, we end up with people talking past each other, and that can harden divisions and make it hard to arrive at any kind of compromise. Is that something you see happening often?
I see it happening every day. I see it happening in homes, in family arguments, see it in the workplace, and certainly see it in politics today.
And you've worked with small groups and organizations on doing things like setting ground rules to avoid talking past each other. What kind of things do you recommend people do?
Well, you know, it's not so much ground rules as just an awareness of the different ways in which we engage in moral reasoning. Because if we're more aware of how we think ourselves and then how we express those thoughts and how others do it too, then we can be attuned to talking to each other in ways that are actually productive instead of counterproductive. So I created something that I call the four-way method for ethical decision making that just kind of highlights the ways in which we whenever we try to convince somebody that a certain action would be good or right or bad or wrong, what we do is we kind of zero in on one of usually four ways of thinking: truth, consequences, fairness, or character. And once we do that, if we're not attuned to how others are also talking about it, we can actually end up making the situation worse instead of better. And this isn't a matter of being uncivil or really being irrational or anything like that. It's just something that we fall into out of habit.
So if I'm arguing along the lines of fairness and you are arguing along the lines of consequences, we may both think we're totally right and wonder what the heck the other guy's talking about, right?
Well, yeah, and because what we do, and this is just part of the way our brains work, we focus on, first of all, the fact that what our solution is, and then the fact that the other person has a different solution. So if say I'm arguing about consequences, you're arguing using fairness, what I notice is that you disagree with me, also that you're not, in your reasons that you're advancing for your argument, you're not using any reasons that line up with mine. And so it's as if you're not listening to me and not responding to the good things that I'm talking about. And so my mind quickly jumps to thinking that you're being irrational or stubborn, whereas actually neither one of us is being very helpful to the other one in trying to find a common solution.
On a practical level, how do we sort that out? Say we're at a public meeting of some sort. How do we try to get us all at least arguing on the same page at the same time?
Well, it's something like a public meeting. What's important is, say, to have everybody use one kind of reasoning at the same time. And what I suggest is that everybody begins with truth and just say, look, we're not going to try to convince anybody else of what we should do based on, you know, the pros and cons or the process or people's motivations. We're not going to even go there. We're just going to talk about what are the facts, what happened, what is the situation, so that everybody's on the same page. And it is really remarkable how quickly people want to jump beyond, and once they've had assessed a few of the facts, how quickly they want to jump behind into some other kind of reasoning. And the more you can delay that, the more you can kind of establish a common understanding of what the problem is. And then you can say, once you've kind of discussed that, you can say, okay, now let's move on to consider the consequences. Who's affected? How are they affected in good or bad ways? And that is all future-oriented reasoning. So all the truth is really finding out what's the situation right now. Consequences is focused on what will happen in the future if we do plan A or plan B or plan C. And so you can get everybody focused in that way. And then what I recommend is once you've done that, go on to fairness, which is a matter of your process. That's how we're doing things. Is everybody being included? Does everybody have a voice? Are people being treated the way you would want to be treated? And then finally move on to character, which is people's motivations and why they're acting the way they are, why they're interested in certain solution rather than others and so forth.
Talking to Richard.
What it does is it lets us take advantage of our best selves rather than trying to manipulate or force our will into the discussion.
Richard Kite is with us from Viterbo University talking about how to have productive conversations about issues that can divide us. Rick, I was out in La Crosse for a listener event. I was talking to you about these things during the day, and you talked about observing that, at least in in-person gatherings like this, food can help really bridge gaps. What have you seen?
Well, I've just seen in all kinds of situations, if you can get people to actually sit down over a meal, we tend to relax. We tend to take on our guard. It takes us out of our kind of oppositional mindset. And the other thing is we get to know each other a little bit better. And once we know each other and find out that we can sit around in a setting like that, I think it operates subconsciously for us to be a little more open-minded to the possible good motivations behind somebody else's position. And so I've seen it work in kind of strategic planning meetings. I've seen it work in kind of contentious groups that are trying to forge long-time solutions involving, taxpayer dollars and criminal justice issues and things like that. I've seen it in a variety of settings.
Now, on a bigger scale, do you have thoughts on how we in the media can create more constructive opportunities for people to participate in issues, especially during, say, a tough election season?
Well, that's really tough because one of the things that happens is that once any of us have declared a position on something, we tend to lock into a favored kind of reasoning for it, and we tend not to be very open to going back and reconsider other ways of thinking about it. But I think that's something that those of you who are in the media could help us do a little bit better is by paying attention to the ways the arguments are being advanced and then drawing attention to that. And this is not just advancing the argument itself. This is thinking about how we're thinking about it. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot to ask. But this is where I find things break down frequently, is that we don't pay attention to the ways in which we're thinking.
Rick Kite is with us from Viterbo University. He's giving some advice on how to have more productive conversations about issues that divide us in a small group or in a national or even international setting. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this in, say, a meeting? People dig in on each side and they can't compromise? Or have you seen things work better than that? What made it work to you? Do you have solutions here? Do you see ideas here for our divided and divisive national politics? Or do you have a question for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how to have better conversations when it comes to the issues that can divide us. Rick Kite is with us, professor and director of the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership at Viterbo University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you participated in meetings or conversations that went south fast? Everybody picked their side and started talking past each other? Or have you seen things work better? What made it work better? What thoughts do you have on how we can talk in productive ways about issues that can otherwise tear us apart? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Rick, I want to take you into one of the toughest places these days, it seems like, to have a civil and productive conversation, social media. It seems to bring out the worst in a lot of us. Do you have advice for people on how to make better connections, better conversations when people aren't there in the room with us?
Well, one of the main things is that even on social media, you can ask sincere questions. And so instead of assuming the worst of another person in their argument, and then making charges against them, or just try to understand what they're saying and ask for a fuller explanation. Social media, of course, is one of these formats where we don't really engage in lengthy discussions. But it seems to me there's no reason why we couldn't use it that way. And we probably should, and then just avoid the short, one-line comments and comebacks.
Let's bring on a caller now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess when I hear about, our divisiveness, especially in the political arena, I kind of attribute it to the mainstream news media and how it's become much more polarizing. And I'll give you the example. A lot of people are ignoring the fact that under President Trump, the economy is doing so well. If they would at least talk about how improved our economy is and the growth of the country is, when they then comment on what really a lousy person he is, people would be able to say, well, at least they're trying to go both sides. By focusing only on what a lousy person he is, that really nobody disagrees with, the real thing, people aren't defending the fact that policies that are improving economic growth in the United States are also being addressed.
Charlie, thanks for the call. So Charlie says he's looking for more balanced or nuanced information from the media in this case, Rick.
Yeah, well, you're in a tough position in the media because people say what they would like you to do, but then you're getting instant feedback on what people are actually responding to. And this is a relatively new thing. Before digital news, you didn't know how many clicks people were making on any certain story, for example. And so this is something that's a problem for us who are the news media consumers, is that we tend to give pretty instantaneous feedback about things. And we really, I'm sad to say, tend not to really like the balanced stuff. I mean, that's on us.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We'll go now to Ross with us in Milwaukee. Ross, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Ross?
My biggest thing is I feel that people just don't know how to have a conversation anymore. I think the problem starts is that everyone is trying to make everyone else feel stupid. Instead of having, an open discourse and a conversation with someone, even if you have two different points of view, whether it's political or otherwise, everyone always wants to get that gotcha moment and make someone feel ignorant. And I feel like that is really stopping us as a society from, growing and educating each other.
Ross, thanks for the call. Rick, what do you think of what Ross had to say?
I think in many ways he's absolutely right. And I think the most interesting studies that have been done on this are probably going back to Robert Putnam. His book, Bowling Alone, I think was published in 1999, looking at the decline in civic engagement in the five decades from 1950 to about 1999. And as you have declines in civic engagement, what you have is people spending less time in actual conversations face-to-face with their neighbors and with strangers and acquaintances in communities. And what that does, all that practice and having those conversations face-to-face, is it makes you more understanding and more tolerant and more civil. And as we have less time doing that but more time talking to strangers on social media, we tend to become less patient and we don't give a charitable interpretation to others' views.
Ross, thanks for that call. Rick, you've worked with a lot of groups. You've done trainings. Do you feel like there's a hunger for this kind of better, more civil, more productive conversation out there?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really amazing. people really want to have better conversations. They want to learn how to listen better, how to talk better in a way that is persuasive and not just critical. And I find it in groups. I find this really interesting. I find it among parents and wanting to know how can they have better conversations with their children so they aren't engaged in arguments over everything, but instead of some real discussions about what would be the best decision for them to make. And I find parents are really challenged in their discussions with their kind of middle school and high school age kids and are looking for help with that as well.
Rick, in our last minute, can you leave people with advice if they want to help lead the way toward these better conversations, more productive arguments over issues, local, personal, whatever? What's that one piece of advice you'd give them?
Ask sincere questions and start with the truth.
That simple?
That simple.
We'll leave it there for now. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
That's Richard Kite, professor and director of the D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics and Leadership at Viterbo University. He joined us with some ideas on how to have productive conversations about divisive issues. If you have a story about this, positive or negative, we'd love to hear from you. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR. What works, what doesn't work for you when it comes to having civil, productive conversations, even on issues that you might disagree with the other person about? Tweet us @CentralTimeWPR or email ideas@WPR.org.